You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, what's up, John? How's it going, man?
It's going very well, man. I got to tell you, Andrew, even with all the anxiety, you know, I carry around with me, it was just good to get back to campus, man. It's just, it makes your soul feel good just after you haven't been there a while to get back. So we had a good weekend, man.
Nice. Yeah. I wish I could have been there. And it honestly looked like, I watched it on Peacock and I thought that was one of the more entertaining blue and gold games I've seen. So, I don't know. I hopefully you felt the same way watching from the stadium.
Yeah, I would. I would be interested in hearing a couple of your big takeaways from the day overall, of where you think we sit, and then we can also address the other item of the day.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to. My thought was I agree with a lot of the sentiment from you, and then a lot of the other people who cover Notre Dame football, which is, I do see a lot of good young talent. You know, I was pleasantly surprised at wide receiver. I think that guy, KK Smith, and what's his name? The freshman who came in from North Carolina.
Gilbert.
Yeah. I mean, they look like legit guys who can contribute right away. And I think, and then obviously Mitchell had that long touchdown, but it was against a true freshman. But I think that the good news is, they've got reinforcements this year. I mean, I don't know if any of those guys are truly game-changing wide receivers, but last year, like against Louisville, remember how horrendous our depth was? I mean, we literally, our game plan was to throw to Rico Flores like the whole game, and we got lucky that Jordan Faison, you know, turned out to be kind of good. So, but I just think that's good. I mean, because we didn't even have Faison, we didn't have Thomas, we don't have Bo Collins from Clemson. So I think our wide receiver room is starting to get it together a little bit. So I thought that was a big thing. I thought the defensive talent is ridiculous. I mean, CJ Carr, and I want to talk about the quarterbacks real quick, but CJ Carr's first read was awesome, and KBA made an unbelievable play, and it made me think, like, our linebacker depth is ridiculous on this team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I thought all three quarterbacks, I mean, I wanted to kind of come on and give Goolsby some guff about Minshew, because I personally think Minshew's sort of the odd man out, but I thought Minshew showed some real guts, you know, rallying back after throwing an interception. I do think Minshew, I guess I was surprised that he runs, because I asked, like, several times to, like, people like Mike Singer and other Notre Dame people, like, can Minshew run? And they all said no. And then he looked like he could run. So I would say, though, that if he's going to do that, he should put on some more muscle, because he's not like a Lamar Jackson or something like that. He's sort of a downhill type runner. So he needs to be bigger. He's going to take a bunch of shots. And then I thought Angeli rallied back, because I thought he was, you know, potentially choke after the first drive. He didn't. He rallied back. And then I think DJ Carr proved that on three's ratings of him were totally ridiculous. He's a blue chip prospect, probably one of the best blue chip quarterbacks we've had. I don't know, maybe since Jimmy Clausen.
So talk me through that. So you're looking at that in the blue and gold game. Is it just kind of the poise he has, the comfort being so young, navigating the offense? And then Goolsby gave me a hard time about this last night when we were recording. I can't define scientifically why I feel like it just looks different and smoother when he releases the football, but it just does. I don't have an equation for it. It just comes off as really smooth and silky to me, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I'm going to actually disagree with you on that. I'm not saying he doesn't have a good arm or something like that, and he does throw a tight spiral. I think the most impressive thing about Carr was accuracy. Like, I mean, how many times have we seen a young Notre Dame quarterback try to throw like a 10-yard out and they spike the ball? You know, like this dude, he can put it there. So that's number one. And number two, it's his decision-making. You can see him going through his progression. I mean, what high school senior playing in a spring game knows how to go through their progression? Like, this guy's totally beyond his years. The one disagreement that I'd have is, I don't know about you, and maybe it was the pass rush and he's just young, but I counted a bunch of times where he threw off his back foot. And I'll just say that, like, you can get away with that when walk-ons are covering people, but I just think you got to be aware of that a little bit, because if you throw off your back foot and you don't have much mustard on the throw, it's going to get picked off. So I would just say that I think I'm more excited about his decision-making and that he could just make basic throws, you know, because it was so frustrating watching Buckner, who could, throw it down the middle pretty well. And then you got like these wide open first downs where all you have to do is throw like a, 7-yard out, and he couldn't do it. So it's, it's like, yeah, Nice to see that we have a legit quarterback, you know?
Yeah. It's really going to be interesting to sort out. Do you think they all stay and none of them hit the portal, or like, what's our situation with that in your opinion right now?
Well, I don't, honestly, I have no idea, but I will say that Driscoll tried to say that, don't be surprised about some of the names that hit the portal. So I don't know if that was a hint that one of the quarterbacks is going to hit the portal. They've got two issues right now. They've got to lose guys in order to get the scholarship count down. But in my opinion, and this sort of leads to what the other topic we're going to talk about, is this is year three for Freeman. You can't hold anything back this year. You've got to, I mean, it is truly playoffs or bust. And so I think there are holes on this roster that that the transfer portal needs to be addressed. So like, they need guys to leave, enough guys to leave so that they can bring in transfer portal guys. That's my opinion. So I don't know. Maybe Angeli does leave, because I was really thinking about it. Why do you need Steve Angeli? It looks like you can pretty much get the same production out of the two young guys. I mean, it's no offense to Steve Angeli. Yeah. I was really complimentary of him. And in fact, I actually think his propensity to check down, it's sort of a good thing when you got Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price in the backfield.
I get guys, what you mean.
That might be the best play.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Instead of trying to like force something and do something, like get it to that guy and then let him do something. Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, earlier in the chat, we were talking about Reggie Bush. I'm not saying Jeremiah Love's Reggie Bush, but like oftentimes Reggie Bush would just catch a swing pass and would be gone for a touchdown. Like, I think there is some of that in both Price and Love. So,
yeah.
But I would just say that, like, I think you can kind of teach Carr and Minshew to hit a check down too. So, like, why do we need Angeli? We need a roster spot, let him go.
Is the answer because he was already here? Like, is it like that's the answer I come up with, because he's already here, he's been around the program, and he has more experience around the program than the younger guys? Like, isn't that the answer? He's an operator. And,
well, I just think, like, I think that in the new college football landscape, it's like pro sports now. And sometimes, like in pro sports, there are some guys who could probably help your team, and they're really, really nice guys, but they just don't fit on the roster. And so I think Freeman's going to have to make some tough decisions. Like, I don't think you need him.
Yeah. Carr, man, that's tough. That's really tough. We love you. Thanks for all you've done. You're a solid dude. Like, you're doing your role, and we don't need you anymore. And you know what, man? That's business. Like, it's not personal, but that's sometimes the way this needs to go.
You don't think Freeman said that to Drew Pine too? I mean, I think Angeli's better than Pine, but I think he said that to Drew Pine after the USC game.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, I really appreciate all the work, but you're not even our backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, It's listen, this is turning into a good discussion to have and a good problem to have for once. So like, it's fine. Like, I would rather we argue about which quarterback we like more than saying we don't like any at all, which is where I've been a few years in this Notre Dame stuff. And then anything else on the game? Hey, listen, that defense is going to be good, Andrew. It's just a matter of how good they're going to be. I think they're going to be good. They're going to be really tough.
I think they're gonna be really good if they stay healthy. That's what I worry about. That's why I'm like, they need to go to the portal. They lost. I don't even know why that dude, that the Micah Bell, like, goes to the portal. I don't understand why he did that. There must be something more to the story, because he was going to get a lot of playing time.
And he's fast.
Just because of how thin they were.
He's fast.
Yeah,
he is really speedy. He's fast. So I don't know. I don't have an answer, but
they might need to get
fast.
Two guys. They might need to get two guys in the portal, because what I worry about is Morrison is hopefully his shoulder heals well. I was actually happy that they interviewed him on the sideline during the spring game. I don't know if you saw that, but like, he seems like he's got the right attitude. You know, he's not some prima donna like cornerback that you'd be used to. So I think he'll actually work his butt off to get back. I just worry that if he gets hurt halfway through the year and he's still projected as a first or second day guy, that he might, you know, why would he rush to get back, you know, and hurt his draft stock, similar to what Cam Hart did. So I just think that, you know, I just think you need more depth at DB, you know, and then I worry about up front too. I'm sorry. Everybody says, oh, we're really happy about, Trey, you know, we're really happy about the defensive tackle play.
Listen, Andrew,
I want another defensive tackle. Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. You know, Mills and Howard, we already knew, like, you were banking on that, but I left spring feeling more comfort rather than less after seeing Traore and Anye and Oben look better than I thought. Like, those guys, I feel better post spring than I did leading up to Blue and Gold with that. Now, maybe that's just me wanting to feel better about something over the summer. I don't know, but I feel better about it than I did before.
I do too. I mean, I think that's a fair thing. The linebackers are totally loaded too. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So loaded that, like, I'm not even sure if there is a position for Snead on the team. Like, do you even need Jalen Snead? You got KVA and Osbury, who could easily do whatever you ask me to do.
There is a lot of talent there. And it's not a surprise, because we've all been talking about the linebackers they keep getting. And like, here they all are, and they're all ready to play, and it's their time, and there's a bunch of good ones. So do you just fit them in different packages depending on their skill sets and what's going on to be able to let them all work? Like, I don't know. But I love that group.
I'm sure that's what they're saying, but it's just like, it's kind of like that, the mic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tyson thing, once you get punched in the mouth, you know, the plans change. So it's like, because they tried doing that year one, really rotating like crazy. And then year two, obviously Golden, he didn't do much rotating at all. So I just think like a guy like KVA needs to be playing, because if he's just sitting the bench playing special teams, you don't think USC is going to back channel to his family who lives in LA and say, hey, this guy would be our starting linebacker right now. And oh, by the way, here's $800,000 in NIL. Like,
yeah.
So that guy needs to be on the field. Like, And so I think he's got a bit of a dilemma. And I might even say that Kaiser might be expendable, even though he's got a lot of experience and he's a good player. I just think they got so many good linebackers. So,
yeah. It's, man, there's a lot to think about but between now and August. And then, all right, Andrew, CFP or bust? My question simply was, I need to know what the bust means. It's easy to say, but my question is, if you say CFP or bust for Freeman and Notre Dame, I want to know what the actual consequences of the bust are. Andrew, I don't think they're firing him. If they go 9-3 and miss the playoff, I don't think they're firing him. And I don't even think he's probably on the hot seat. I think you run out the 6 years and then reevaluate it then. That's all I think happens. And then we're all just mad and everybody gives me a hard time because Freeman's my guy. And then, like, I just think everybody gets upset, but nothing major is going to come of it. Am I wrong?
Well, I think you could be right in terms of how it all plays out, but I guess, and I hate coming at you, John, but I think it will be fun for fun for the show, but you're usually the guy who sets the bus. I mean, like, when I first started watching you, it was, you know, probably 2019. Certainly during the pandemic year of 2020, I was watching you, you know, fairly religiously, and you were just totally dissatisfied with Brian Kelly, even during a year when they went undefeated in the regular season. Because you felt like, hey, this is not truly a national championship level team. Yet, like, Freeman is supposedly flipping the script, bringing in all these good players. He, like, Notre Dame finally opened up the purse strings and brought in all the coaches he could have ever wanted. The collective have opened the purse strings and 2 years in a row have gotten arguably the best quarterback off the portal. And then I have to think NIL played some role in the wide receivers they landed. And we're still making excuses for Freeman if he doesn't even make even a 4-team playoff. This is a 12-team playoff. And if he doesn't make the playoffs a year after your hated rival, Michigan, the team that you hate, hate Michigan more than USC. And, like, how are you going to give Freeman a pass? Like, I think you should be leading the charge of that it's a bust.
It is a bust, which means we're all going to be upset and angry, and it's not good enough.
I just think you should doing videos on, hey, Freeman, I've been defending you for the first 2 years. You better not let me down. And if you do, I'm going to be leading the charge of saying that maybe you're not the right guy. That's how my feeling should be. Like, you have stuck your neck out for this guy. And you said, hey, give him a chance to build. He's in year three now. He's gotten everything he's wanted. I mean, what haven't they given Freeman? And he's got a schedule. Come on, man. Look at this schedule. And for all the people in the chat, do not try to say Louisville is some tough game. Go read an article about Louisville football right now. They're in disarray. Their NIL is falling apart. Their best player, the running back, who's their best player, just left. That is not a hard game. They have three tough games, and I'm only saying A&M is a tough game because it's a road game. Because if they played A&M at home, that should be an automatic win. So they've really got two really hard games. Florida State, because I don't know what Florida State's going to do. They've gotten some really good portal guys. And then you never can say that at USC is a gimme, you know, especially with Lincoln Riley. So you got to win. He's got to go 2-1. He basically has to go 2-1 in those three hard games, and he makes the playoff. And if he doesn't do that, he sucks. And I'm just going to say that. He sucks if he can't go 2-1 in those games.
How do you really feel?
tell me where I'm wrong.
I guess.
Tell me where I'm wrong. What's the difference between him and James Franklin if he can't go 2-1 in those games?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll give you that one because, you know me, I always complain about James Franklin because he just never wins the big one, beats who he has more talent than, and then goes 10-2 pretty much every year. I think
he's not even getting like a sneaky tough game. Like,
yeah,
people are trying to circle Georgia Tech. It's like Georgia Tech has been down, and talk about a program that has not embraced the modern era of the transfer portal and NIL. Yeah. It's like they're delusional, like Stanford is. You know, they do have a good head coach, I will say, but that's not a sneaky game. It's not like playing at NC State on the road. That was a much tougher game. It's like the rest of the schedule is a joke. So if you really it's almost as if Michigan's was slightly easier last year, but I mean, come on. I mean, this is set up to go to the playoff.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
The bus is this: you lose at Texas A&M first game. I think the fan base I think you start to hear murmurs in the fan base. Like, what is going on here?
I'm not going to. On this show. This is going to be a rough call-in week if that happens. I'm praying it doesn't. I'm not looking forward to it.
And then he drops. And then you drop two more games in a year? You're not telling me that that Freeman is on a hot seat going – Yeah.
All right, couple things. One is, I'm not being sarcastic. I really don't know where the reality of the next thing I'm going to say falls. I struggle with it in my own brain, Andrew. I'm not being sarcastic. It's a genuine question I struggle with in my brain. I struggle with, this is Notre Dame. We have standards here. We haven't held up to them for 25, 30 years, whatever. You know, there's a standard in Notre Dame and what we've been doing isn't good enough. All of that. I struggle balancing that, which is what we all want to think of Notre Dame, and I do too, with the realities of a guy who's starting out as head coach and is going to make some mistakes, because everybody does when they're young in their first big job. Andrew, I struggle with that. I struggle figuring out where that line is between this is Notre Dame and we have standards and it's got to either be good enough or it isn't, versus the reality of nobody in year one or two of their career is as polished or good at it as they should be after year 30. I struggle to try and figure out where my brain should be on that. Do I make sense that with that battle?
Yeah, I mean, I think because you're a nice guy, John, but I think you, this isn't, there's a saying I really like. It's not show friends, it's show business. And this is Notre Dame football. I don't care how nice Marcus Freeman is and how good looking he is. I think he's got a little bit of a Hartman effect.
All right. Now wait. But then I get blamed for this double standard, but then I turn it around on the people saying that. And I go, the other guy didn't get major results. And he wasn't a nice guy and treated people right. And didn't do any of that. And he didn't win anything. So if we're going to go there,
you keep saying that Kelly didn't get results, but I mean, I
Camping World Bowl, Camping World Bowl trophy, Andrew. Well, that's the biggest one going in the Goog. That's the biggest one after 11 years going in the Goog is the Camping World Bowl. And we gave the guy over a decade.
You know that's not true. I know you're being a little facetious.
I am. I mean, what's the other trophy? What other trophy am I proud of that's in there because Kelly was there? The Pinstripe Bowl?
Because he doesn't have a trophy. I would agree. No trophy, but three undefeated regular seasons. I think if Marcus Freeman had a undefeated regular season and got blown out in the playoffs, you guys would be throwing a parade for him.
If what now? Run that by me again.
Brian Kelly had, I believe, three undefeated regular seasons that led to playoff berths. One was against Alabama and then two playoff berths.
Does it not matter what happens?
If Marcus Freeman... It does matter.
You can't get blown out. You undo all the 12-0 when you go into the playoff with everyone in America watching and pee down your leg and show that you're not able to compete at all. It ruins all the vibes of the 12-0. They're still on the record, but it kills all the perception and all the momentum and all the good feelings. All came crashing down. Every time he built you up just enough to get that little thread of hope. And then you get in that moment and you realize you are 90 miles away, not even close. And that cycle of insanity and doing that over and over again is why my hair's falling out, Andrew.
I completely agree with you. I think the first time me and you ever communicated, it was after the Alabama. It was so lame that Notre Dame was trying to run the clock out in the second half so that they could say they didn't lose by more than 30 points to Alabama. I totally agree with you.
That's what they did.
Where I'm coming at you guys, and not even, I don't know, John, you can let yourself be known about what your feeling is, but I think a lot of the Freeman lovers, if he had an undefeated regular season and got whipped in the playoffs, I think most people would say, hey, that's progress. You know, he's showing some real progress here. They would not hold him to the same accountability that Freeman Kelly got held to, which was people were totally disappointed after they got their butts kicked by a real team. So I just would say hold Freeman to the same standard. I don't give a crap about how lack of experience he is. Then don't hire a coach who doesn't have head coaching experience. I mean, how many times does Notre Dame have to do that to figure out that it's bad? We did it before Lou Holtz, the high school coach who we hired, he sucked. Then after Lou Holtz, we do it with Bob Davies. Tyrone Willingham barely had a head coaching resume, but had one good year at Stanford. We give him the job. Then we hire Charlie Weiss, no head coaching experience. Then we finally do the right thing and hire a coach with head coaching experience, and he flips the program around, doesn't get us to where we need to be, but definitely major improvement. And then what do? We go out and hire another coach without head coaching experience. It's just like, it's crazy. And then what I will say is Freeman should feel heat, because there are coaches that are coaching at lesser programs than he is at who would take this roster right now and go 11-1 and 12-0. And I threw out a name. I think Lance Leipold at Kansas is just like Kalen DeBoer. He's a guy who wasn't like Freeman. He was not born on third base the way Marcus Freeman was, a guy who's less than 40 years old and already has the Notre Dame head coaching job. Lance Leipold had to work his way up through like Division II. Then he had to go to like 1AA. Then he had to go to the MAC. And now he's coaching lowly Kansas, and he's getting really good seasons out of him. If he had Notre Dame's opportunity with this roster, I think he would do some great things. So I think we as a fan base should apply pressure. It's like, hey, if Freeman comes through for us, you support him. You give him that contract extension. You see the talent on the field. But if he comes up short again for a third season in a row, we should be pissed off, especially knowing that Michigan just won a national championship and they're not bringing in blue chippers. They're doing it the way that we thought wasn't possible. We thought you had to bring in all five stars to win championships under the Saban era. Jim Harbaugh just proved good coaching and development can win a national championship too. So we need to reevaluate stuff if Freeman comes up short again.
Listen, you're right. I'm going to be mad. I don't understand why people are acting like I'm not going to be upset. I'm going to be devastated. I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be mad. But here's where I'm at with it. When you're in that situation, or the results aren't what you wanted, or you're kind of treading water a little bit and it's making people nervous, that's when the athletic department and the AD starts looking at all the other stuff. And nobody likes hearing this, Andrew. All the other stuff, the relationships, how things are going, the relationship with the donors, just the vibes, how it, all of that off the field stuff kind of matters at that level a little bit. And in that regard, everybody loves what Marcus is doing. So that, no, you don't have to agree with that. People shouldn't think that's how it should be, that if you're a nice guy, you get an extra year of leeway. Nobody likes that. I'm just telling you that's how this is going to go.
Well, I
nobody I has to right. like it, but I'm just telling you that's how it's going to go.
The Trump card is, but you know what the Trump card is on all that stuff is the fan base reaction. You know, if the fans aren't behind you, and then like the AD starts getting calls from people, and then donors start getting pissed because it's not fun going to games. Then that they can turn on a dime. And then the other thing that people never think about, because it's Notre Dame, is you have a pretty unsuccessful season, and Marcus Freeman's attitude kind of changes in the locker room, starts getting really down on players. You don't think that there could be an exodus in the portal after a disappointing season? We've seen it a lot with different teams. And if because of how stupid their admission standards are, you can't replace. Like if they lost 20, I was just talking about Louisville. They've lost a ton of players, or Colorado just lost 20 dudes off their team. Can Notre Dame replace 20 guys in the transfer portal? I don't think they can. Yeah. So things can change really, really quickly. So I would just mention that. That's great that he can glad hand and stuff, but at a certain point, people want to at least get back to where Brian Kelly had it with that. So
yeah. Man, Here's what I think. I think the practical consequence if you missed the playoff would be real heat from other parts of the media and whatever, like real heat leading into the next year, no extension, everybody's on edge, and even the pro Freeman people tone it down a little bit with a little anxiety. There's no extension, and then we go from there. That's what I think the practical fallout for falling short would be. I don't think it'd be more than that, but it isn't going to be nothing. People are going to be wound a little tight, even the ones that are Freeman supporters like me. That's the reality I think you're facing. No extension, but it isn't going to be a firing. They're going to give them that 6 years because they like the way everything else is going on.
Yeah, well, and I'm looking at the chat. Like, people say I'm doom and gloom. When is having standards doom and gloom? I'm saying that I complimented Freeman on bringing in talent. It's like, dude, have some standards, Notre Dame fan. Like, I want to win championships. I don't know about you guys.
That's what that's what I was saying for 20 years when Kelly was not winning anything. I said that, and I was told he's the biggest winner since Lou, and it doesn't matter that we don't get over the hump, and you should shut up and be grateful, and at least it's not Weiss, and at least it's not Davey, and you should be happy with it. So that's where my frustration comes, because when I was the standard guy, everybody told me I was an ungrateful loser.
Well, I would just end on this. I also, some of the Freeman's biggest supporters are trying to rewrite history on 2022 and 2023. I think, like, they're trying to make the idea that he inherited an empty cupboard from Kelly, and I think that's just not true. I mean, I think that the quarterback room was an issue, and the wide receiver room was an issue. I think a lot of the other parts were there. And Marcus Freeman made a big mistake letting Tommy Rees convince him that Buckner was guy first year. That screwed up his first season. And then last year, what was he doing with the wide receiver room? Like, what was he doing? He brought in a broken down wide receiver from Virginia Tech, and I think that cost him two games. So
yeah.
So I think that those people need to take some accountability that, you know, Freeman, I think this year he's done a lot to address some of the holes. I think what he has to do if he really wants to make a playoff, in my opinion, you need to be back channeling the top group of five offensive tackle and offering that dude a lot of money to come in, because they may have starters at offensive tackle with Jagasaw and probably Baker, but I guess you've only got one other tackle who can maybe play Wagner. You got to hope Gerby Lambert is somebody, but that's super thin. I would be back channeling an offensive, similar to what Ohio State did with San Diego State's tackle last year. Yeah. And that guy ended up, I don't know if that guy was any good, but he certainly ended up starting for them. So I think don't hold anything back, Freeman. This is your year. You make the playoff, you get an extension, and everybody starts feeling good about you. If you don't, though, then you should go in on the hot seat for 2025.
Man, listen, I understand where you're coming from, man. And it's a big year, and you just got to make that field so we can avoid this problem. Andrew, I thank you very much. Appreciate the call today, man. Anything on the way out?
No, man, I really appreciate the time. And hey, you know, I love you. And I think everybody should participate in Patreon, because
thank you.
You have a lot of hot button videos on there.